Byron Brown is just way too low on this list.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. We got some QB rankings to talk about, and I'm not too pleased with where Byron Brown is. I just don't understand what criteria we're using. We're going to talk about that. Basketball had a content dump, and there was some really cool stuff to take away from a lot of the videos that they dropped, and then we give out our Jack Arse of the Week. And once again, it's going to be another doozy. But let's jump right in. So Chris Lowe is always been known as one of the, I guess, most connected SEC insiders. He was for ESPN for years. I believe On3 acquired him. And look, there's no doubt he is very widely respected. He puts out his top 10 SEC quarterback list, and I'm going to pop it up for you right here. And you see Byron Brown coming in at 8. You got Trinidad Chambliss, Arch Manning, Gunnar Stockton, John Mateer, Sam Levitt, Lenore Sellers, Marcel Reed, then Byron Brown, and then who cares after that? Kamario Taylor, Kenny Minchie, who cares? So here's my thing about quarterbacks. To me, you have to specify what you're – to me, to rank a quarterback, you have to specify what the criteria is. And it feels like, to me, a lot of this is based off of team. It really does. It feels like a lot of this is projecting which quarterback is going to be on the team that's going to finish the best, potentially. And that's where I feel like it's kind of a cop-out. To me, the best quarterback is I can take this quarterback and it doesn't necessarily have to be the best talent around him, and this quarterback is going to still be successful. I can put this quarterback on any team. I think there's a few guys on this list that you could argue are in the right spot that could be that way. And then there's some that I think just totally ride the coattails of the team they're on and the talent that's surrounding them. So let's just start at the top. Look, Trinidad Chambliss, I've said on multiple shows, I've said multiple times, he's my number one quarterback. He's my number one quarterback in the SEC. I think you could put him just about anywhere. You could put him just about on any team, and that team's going to get exponentially better just because of Trinidad Chambliss. His storyline is awesome. You know, he got his waiver to play for his 10th year in college football. That's cool. He went on a run in the playoffs without having his head coach that got him there. Like, the dude's good. I will not argue with anyone that wants to put Trinidad Chambliss as the number one quarterback in the SEC. Arch Manning, number two. I just don't believe in Arch. I just don't believe in him. He's going to be good this year. Texas is probably going to be good this year because of the roster around him. But if you put Arch on Ole Miss, does Ole Miss make the playoffs? The answer is no. If you put Arch Manning on South Florida's team, do they go into Gainesville and beat Florida on the road? I just don't see that from him. I don't see put the team on my back and let me carry you. I see facilitator, don't screw it up, and then pick up a few first downs with your legs. That's what I see out of Arch Manning. I just don't get it. Literally, take everything I just said, take it down a notch, and that's Gunnar Stockton. I don't think Gunnar Stockton's as good as Arch Manning. Could Gunnar Stockton have won 9 games at South Florida last year? Could he have carried that team? If you have to have a drive and you're not surrounded by the best talent in the SEC, who would you rather have to take you down the field to win the game, Gunnar Stockton or Byron Brown? I just think not. I think the answer is easily Byron Brown. Like, you can't have surrounding cast factor into the decision. John Mateer is an interesting one because I really believe in John Mateer. I think he's legit. He did hurt his thumb against Auburn, and that kind of hampered his season a little bit last year. But even in that Auburn game, after he hurt his thumb, they still had to have a drive, and he just put him on his back and went down the field and won the game. I'd be totally fine if you had John Mateer number two ahead of Byron Brown. I can get with that argument, not the other two. Sam Levitt, I don't believe in Sam Levitt. I just don't. He's got a ton of mileage off of the playoff run 2 years ago. But you look at the box score. I mean, he played Mississippi State twice, and I think he was 20 of 42 for around 150 yards with one touchdown and two interceptions, if I'm not mistaken. I'm splitting hairs there, but I'm pretty sure that's close. I know he was 20 of 42, which is less than 50%. I know he threw two interceptions this past year, and they lost. There is the whole Lane Kiffin factor here, but again, go back to Arch Manning and Gunnar Stockton. Could you put Sam Levitt on any of those teams and Sam carry you by himself to victory? I just not crazy about it. Lenore Sellers, I think he's good. I think he has a high ceiling / potential. Last year was rough, though. I know they threw the offensive coordinator under the bus. But if you actually look at the production, I know he played like one more game or something, full game, than he did the year prior. But the passing yards are within 100 yards from season to season. He did drop a little bit in completion percentage. He did not have as good of a rushing year as he did in 2024. That to me feels like where it's all about potential, like what he could be, and he's all the way up at six. I think I take Byron Brown over Lenore Sellers. Byron Brown's never had a drop-off. Marcel Reed, is it just me, or does it feel like sometimes their offense is handicapped by him, particularly as a passer? He's electric. He's an electric runner. He obviously makes things interesting when plays break down. I just think about that first round playoff game where they can't move the ball, or several times when they play some of the better teams and the offense just completely shuts down. I think I would have Byron Brown at worst third on this list. I would accept fourth. I think third is about right. And I even could get on board with you having him second. Like, that's not going to be – I know Brian Smith on Locked On Auburn has Byron Brown as the second overall quarterback in the SEC for his rankings, whatever he does. I'm okay with that. I think third or fourth is fair. Eighth to me is just too low. We're giving guys too much credit for their surrounding cast, and I just don't think that's how you determine a top quarterback in a league. Let me know what you think. Where does he need to be on that list? I'd love to know your thoughts. Am I bugging too hard, or I'm trying to be as objective as possible. I mean, the guy, my gosh, the guy's thrown for, 3,000 yards essentially twice. No, not essentially. Thrown for 3,000 yards twice and essentially ran for 1,000 yards twice. He was just shy of 1,000 yards his redshirt freshman year. And then he pops it over his junior year. That's tough, man. That's good production. That's elite stuff. We'll see. I don't know. I think it's too low. We're going to talk about the basketball content dump and what to look for. I'm really excited about this basketball roster. We're going to jump into that in just a second. But before we do that, quick shout out to the PTAC Precision Tune Auto Care. They're still running their Beat the Heat special. You can get that free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis, and then $50 off any of those repairs on your AC, over $300. They're open at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. If you drop your car off between 7 and 9, you can get a $50 oil change. Stop by there yesterday. They said a bunch of you guys have taken advantage of the oil change. That's awesome. Keep pumping it up, man. Keep running it in there and keep showing them some love. It's at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans Parkway. It's Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika. And then don't forget to buyauburn.com. Don't forget to go to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are, dadgummit, and do business with Auburn people everywhere. We're about to have a huge influx of businesses added across a bunch of different industries. We've already touching 40-plus businesses and growing. If you own a business, it's less than a dollar a day to have your business listed. And then if you're shopping or looking for any kind of service and you're an Auburn fan, you need to start here and do business with Auburn people first. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. I love this, by the way. This is like one of my favorite things that Auburn basketball has done as far as content goes. It's like they had a phone dump in a Twitter thread or X thread, whatever you want to call it. No context, really. Just, hey, we're getting rid of some stuff. And you know, there was a few captions, but for the most part, it was just like video after video after video. It starts off, you see Montas just drilling threes. I think he hit like six or seven in a row. I mean, the video was like 20 seconds, and he never missed while they shot it, while they were shooting the video, which is fun to see and fun to think about because that kid's going to be really good. He's going to be a factor. One video that I loved, one clip, and I should show these, but the format and stuff like that doesn't really work too well. A lot of Buki Aboye, and you even see him pop out and hit a three, which I think is fun to think about. You have a seven-footer that can kind of run the floor and shoot threes. That's really going to be fun. Then, obviously, you see your other seven-footer, Narcisse Ngoy, doing the dominant things inside that you would think a seven-footer would give you. You know, you got the give and goes. You got the clean-up rebounds, put-back dunks. I hope this guy can shoot free throws because I can see him being such a problem that he's just going to get fouled a lot. Caleb Williams, the freshman, is getting so much love. He had a really good finish in one of the videos. I think that one was something that's a little bit unexpected. He was unheralded, but he is not anymore. He's turning heads. A lot of times when you talk to folks about basketball, he's one of the first people they bring up. Dude can play, may play early. This lineup is going to be fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I mean, you can do so many things and still be so long, so tall. It's hard to come up with a small ball lineup, to be honest. I think basketball is going to be fun. I can't wait to get to see them practice in person. Hopefully we get to do that soon. And then obviously when real practice starts in September or whenever it is, we'll get to see a lot more practice and a lot more stuff as we watch this team grow and gel together. But good stuff from Auburn basketball. It's got me pumped for the season. It's time for everybody's favorite segment, Jack Arse of the Week. This one's going to be fun. Jack Arse Rentals over in Columbus, Georgia. If you're in East Alabama or the Columbus market and you need some type of heavy equipment, but you don't, it's just for a small project or it could be a bigger project, but hey, I don't need it forever. I don't need a skid steer forever. I don't need a mini X forever. I don't need a boom lift in my garage. I just need to rent something to knock this out. Jack Arse Rentals is the place for you. You can use coupon code BARN10 at checkout online or in person to take 10% off your order. Show them some love. It's Jack Arse Rentals. I don't exactly know who should get this award. Okay. This has to do with Colorado, Julian Lewis, and they were having some sort of media day or appearance. I don't know. It could have been a spring game or something. I don't think it was a spring game because it was just recently. Clearly it wasn't. But they're interviewing Julian Lewis, Juju Lewis. Everybody that's an Auburn fan knows Julian Lewis. They remember Julian Lewis, that recruitment fiasco and everything that went along with it. And he has a quote that's going around. And it just has me asking, what the heck are you doing? In Colorado, whoever is in control of this, what the heck are you doing? Here's the quote. I wanted to play the clip, but it was an ESPN clip, and the YouTube ninjas would have assassinated me or taken me out if that was the case. All right, here's the quote. I'm actually looking at defenses now. So that could be enough just right there. Well, she was basically asking, what do you like most about your game, or what's changed most about your game? And he goes, I'm actually looking at the defenses now. Last year, we weren't really looking at defenses that much, just kind of free-balling high school out there playing football. But you know, it's a lot bigger than that now. I don't even know what to say. So you're telling me he started two games last year at the end of the year. So you're telling me, is this a Julian Lewis thing for freshmen? Or is this an everybody thing? We don't look at opposing defenses. We don't watch opposing defenses before we go out there. We don't film study like crazy our opposing defenses. We only just have started that. It's got to be that they just – well, I don't even know how this makes sense, though, because the quarterbacks are typically in a room. It's not like you can only – one quarterback can watch opposing defensive film at a time. But maybe they just don't put their freshman quarterbacks through that and just say, hey, go out there and play. I don't know. I can't find any good reasoning behind it or any good logic to follow. Who's in charge of that? Is that a Deion thing? Is that a offensive coordinator thing? I can't believe you have a quarterback in your building that for any extended period of time, you're not teaching him how to look at defenses. Is that not like the whole thing? Is that like not like the most important thing about being a quarterback? Is like understanding and being able to read defenses? Or you just tell him to go out there and throw it to 85? Just go out there, hey, look, whatever happens, he's going to run a post. Just throw it to 85. Hey, this play, turn around, hand it off. This play, hey, 27, he's going to drag across the middle. Just throw it to him, no matter what, or throw it away. Is that what they're doing? I don't know how you can coach and not look at opposing defenses. Hell, I was in high school, okay, and I played wide receiver, and we watched film on the opposing defenses. Like, that's not even, like, high-level stuff. It's crazy to me. Hopefully this Colorado thing is about to be over. I wouldn't expect very much from them this year. Last year was not great. Boy, that's wild. What are y'all's thoughts there? Who gets that award? Do you give it to Deion? I don't think you can give it to Julian because he can't help it. He ain't running the show. Do you give it to the offensive coordinator? Whoever made the decision that Julian Lewis should not have to watch any opposing defensive film for a year you get the award. Guys, thank y'all for listening. Thanks for everybody joining in on the Barncast last night. A lot of fun. Thank y'all all week. Shows have been great. Chat's been great. Activity's been great. Comments have been great. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. Check out the YouTube premium content that we have. You got a sub there. Dropping some new premium content next week to help you get through this long 2 months until football starts. Boy, oh boy, it's going to drag by. Appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.